listen easy. You can hear God calling.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me questions at bruce@bruceallen.com. That's Bruce and Sallan, S-A-L-L-A-N. This segment of the Bruce Allen Show is sponsored by North Pier Fiduciary Management, the group I trust and use to handle my money. You can reach them at npier.com, N-P-I-E-R.com. And if you write them there, you can get their quarterly newsletter at no cost, just to get to know them. It is time for the Men's Room with Wayne Levine. Wayne Levine is a life coach for men, couples, and families. He's the director of BetterMen.org in Agoura Hills, California, where he facilitates men's groups and men's retreats. BetterMen.org's mission is to help men be the best men, fathers, and husbands they can be. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
Good morning, Bruce.
I understand you're a little under the weather.
But neither rain nor sleet will keep me from talking on a dad's point of view.
Good, I appreciate that. Given that we are experiencing about a heck of a lot of precipitation in our area, that you should have added snow to that. Mammoth is expected to get 2 to 3 feet in the next 24 hours, during which time I will be heading up there to indulge.
Because of this flu, I'm not going to Mammoth tomorrow, so there you go.
Well, you just partied in Vegas, I understand.
I'm too old to party, Bruce.
Okay. Well, the concept of bursts of expression, I suppose, is carried to the max in Las Vegas, in the sense of everywhere you go, you are assaulted by sights and sounds.
Yeah, it's quite an experience, and it has changed so much over the years. But, you know, depending on what part of the strip you visit, you can have extraordinary experiences that are very positive and extraordinary ones that are just ones you would rather forget.
Yes, I agree.
So it's an interesting place, but, you know, bursts of expression, I guess I've been ill for the week, and I'm reminded of how we talk about in the men's work silencing the little boy, and how men get into a lot of trouble because they're not conscious of the little boy needs that are still in them, and how much they are sort of motivated by that immature sensibility. When I'm sick,
I'm sorry, I can't relate to that at all.
Well, it comes back just in an intense way for me when I'm sick, and I think it's probably rather common. When you get to a point where you don't care about anything, you feel so miserable that you don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've been really paying attention to this week is fighting that sense of I don't care, because I do care. And so there's just been this battle of trying to stay engaged with what's important when I've wanted to just check out completely.
When you say you have that feeling of I don't care, would you be specific, meaning you don't care about what?
The thing, my passions disappear.
Okay. Right? So that means I know you're passionate about your work, so you feel a little less excited about doing your work. Is that the case, as an example?
Well, sure. And you know, your passions, what you're committed to, those things that define you as a man, all those things just fade away when you get to a place where, you know, you feel so lousy, you've disconnected from all that. And so I remember for years and years going into a much deeper, sort of darker hole when I got sick. And I think a lot of that had to do with having lost my father when I was a kid because he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so sickness correlated with death to me. And so I would deny being sick. I would never miss a day of school or work because I was sick. I wouldn't buy into it because it was such a dreadful connection.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah. But, this is a different kind of week.
Well, a quiet week. I find I have a different reaction. I mean, we're not staying on point, but it doesn't matter. When I'm sick, I usually interpret it as a sign from my body that it needs a break. And I don't get sick very often. So when I do, it usually follows a intense period of activity in whatever form that may be or combination of forms. And so I use that downtime. I just accept it as, okay, my body's saying stop. And so whatever it is I was doing too intensely or intently, I just stop. So now getting back to bursts of expression, the one thing I can do when I'm sick is communicate with the outside world in a way that we couldn't before. Since the laptop can literally sit with me in bed, I can connect as much as I want. And that is really the point of this idea of bursts of expression, which is how do we communicate? And are kids communicating in these short forms? And is that inhibiting their skill in communicating? And I guess that's really my question.
Well, you know, we've talked about our relationships with our kids in the past, and I do believe that at least with my son, I've had to force a longer form communication because oftentimes the texting is obviously their preferred method, and it leaves a lot to be desired.
Now, you've told me that. I'm really less concerned, if I may interrupt, Wayne, with how parents communicate with their kids and how the kids are communicating with each other. Because, as you well know, our job is only temporary, and then they go off. And if we've done a good job, they're relatively independent, relatively young. So what is the time we have with them is the time we have to maybe have some influence on how they grow, and in this case, how they communicate. So that's really more my question. It's not about how they communicate with us, more how they're communicating with each other. Are they even learning how to write? Letter writing is a lost art, let alone, you know, writing columns, articles. I mean, they have to do school papers, but I have found both my kids, one of whom is exceedingly successful at school, the other just a little lazy but also incredibly bright. Neither one has any kind of really good writing skills.
That was just not a priority I could see in our public school system here at all.
Yeah, and it gets worse as they can move on and communicate without having to literally talk.
Yeah, now, when you talk about communicating, what I see from my kids is that they spend a lot of time with their friends. They're both college age now, and they're not writing much, but they're being with each other. They're very social, and so that's obviously an important form of communication too, right?
No, I think that's huge. But are they both in college? Correct me. Did I hear correctly? They're both literally in college?
Well, my daughter's waiting for grad school, so she'll be going back to school next year.
So you're basically referring about the time that they are in college, which is inherently a social atmosphere because in your kids' case, they both they lived at the college they went to, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so that is, to some degree, I think, an artificial time. As far as this communication question, because if they were living at home, would they have seen as much of their friends as they did by living at the dorms or apartments nearby campus? Is really kind of what I wonder.
Well, I you know, we always believe that the social aspect of going to a university away from home was one of the most important parts of the experience.
I couldn't agree with you more, since I particularly have disdain for a lot of what our universities do to our kids. I do believe that is a great one. I think it's very important to learn how to binge drink and among the other great skills that are taught at in the social world, to be exceedingly sarcastic.
Well, listen, you know, stupidity is learned in all corners of our culture, and definitely the drinking environment is horrible, and we had to deal with it a bit. But kids have an opportunity to learn good lessons from it or not. So,
and yes, and good lessons for bad experiences. Indeed. Wayne, feel better. We are out of time. Quickly tell us, tell the listeners where to reach you.
Well, when I'm feeling better, go to betterman.org. You can find out how we're helping men both in Southern California and all over via Skype and phone. And you can get a copy of my book from the website, Hold On To Your Nuts, The Relationship Manual for Men.
And I heartily recommend both. Wayne, feel better. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks,
I want
Bruce.
To thank you, North Pier, for sponsoring this segment of The Bruce Allen Show. It's time for a break. Again, you can tweet me at Bruce Allen. This is The Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. We will be back with Teen Rap. We'll be right back.
And that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, boots? Start walking.